and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today from the National Museum of American Jewish History, we have its Chief Curator and Director of Exhibitions, Collections, and Education, and you've got a wide business card, Josh Perlman, and Jenny Isakowitz, who is the Public Relations and Digital Marketing Director. Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
I haven't had this museum on since the week before you opened. So how long does that make it?
We just celebrated our 7th anniversary.
You want to give us just a little overview of the museum?
It's been in a tremendously exciting 7 years. The museum opened to much excitement, much critical acclaim, and we really became this new institution in Philadelphia that had the opportunity from our location across the street from the Liberty Bell on Independence Mall to tell the story of our nation through the eyes of one particular minority population, American Jews. Since opening, we have had hundreds of thousands of visitors who come to see our core exhibition or attend one of our many, many public programs that happen on a weekly basis. We have had a very successful string of special exhibitions. Many people may remember Chasing Dreams, Baseball and Becoming American, which was our large baseball exhibition that opened in 2014. And I know there are a lot of people in the community who are awaiting the exhibition we're opening next March on Leonard Bernstein.
Ooh, I didn't know about that one.
It's going to be an immensely exciting show. And I think this is the centennial of Bernstein's birth, and there are celebrations taking place across the nation and across the world. And we are the only museum who's really focusing on Bernstein's development as a Jewish artist, the impact of his upbringing on the compositions, especially, you know, many of his notable compositions, including West Side Story, Candide, Mass, and really looking at him as this remarkable human being whose life touched so many aspects of our nation and so much of our popular culture.
So the story is how his Jewishness, how his religion helped shape him as a person, but it's telling an American story.
It's very much an American story in the sense that it looks at how his identity and his upbringing in a fairly traditional Jewish family carried with him across his career. And, you know, whether he chose to identify religiously as a Jew or whether he chose to identify culturally as a Jew, that essence, that Jewishness, can be found interwoven into many of his most famous compositions and certainly had a significant impact on him as an educator and a social activist.
So how is there a mission statement, one of those that is a wonderful one line that kind of describes, so when you look at something, you go, that is why this artifact is here, or this is why this baseball or piano or microphone is sitting here right now?
So the National Museum of American Jewish History is the only museum in the country that preserves, explores, and celebrates over 360 years of Jewish life in this country. So that means we begin from before the nation was founded, and all of our exhibitions really come up until the present day. And so its relevancy to the history of this city, its relevancy to all different types of visitors, and its significance as a storyteller of our nation is really fundamental to what we do on a daily basis.
You did allude to the city just now, and I'm going to jump all over that. You can deflect, but is it important that it's in the city of Philadelphia?
It's immensely significant that we are located on Independence Mall. We're located across the street from the Liberty Bell, you know, the symbol of the values of our nation. We're just, you know, steps from Independence Hall, where this country was founded. And if we think about those founding ideals, what compelled the people to write the documents that were written at Independence Mall, those ideals of freedom, those ideals of the opportunities and responsibilities of living in an open society are what has made the United States such an attractive place to immigrants and minority communities of all kinds. And by looking at that story through the lens of American Jews, we really do have the explore, you know, both all of the accomplishments that have been possible because America is a free society, but also the challenges that have come with, you know, our imperfection as a free society, which is part of our ongoing and evolving story as a nation.
Being a minority population, too.
Certainly being a minority population. And I always like to say that, you know, this is a museum whose protagonists are Jews, right? Our characters are Jews. But in terms of the story we tell, it's really a story that is accessible and meaningful to anybody who might walk in our doors.
Well, when someone walks through the doors, what do they see in the collections? Now, you mentioned that this goes to the beginnings of the country. So that's 360 years ago. Do you touch on that as well? And I know you do exhibits that talk on the 60s. So that was, I'm thinking it was,
Bill Graham.
Bill Graham. Yeah. What do we see when we come to the museum?
Visitors to the museum can see every day our core exhibition, which begins in 1654, which was when the first Jews permanently settled in what was then colonial America in New Amsterdam. And that tells the story of the American Jewish experience throughout critical moments in our country, whether that's westward expansion or the Civil War or the era of industrialization and mass migration or the Civil Rights era, up until the present day. We also feature special exhibitions on a regular basis, and visitors are always welcome to check our website, www.nmajh.org, to find out what's on at the museum. And depending on the day that they come, there might be a special program. Or they may come during the day when we have drop-in docent tours and be able to experience the museum through the eyes of one of our magnificent interpreters. Mentioning special exhibition, I will just say that currently on view is a show of painting and photography called Sifting Through Ashes. It's work of an artist named Bruce Gendelman, and it traces his personal experience encountering Auschwitz and encountering the history of his own family. And in some ways, he traveled to Eastern Europe, discovered many things that he never knew, and came back and processed that through a series of paintings and by organizing photographs that he took to document the trip. And so it's really understanding the familial experience of the Holocaust through the eyes of one particular artist. And it's a meaningful, it's poignant, and I think it's a unique way to look at the history of that time.
I was thinking about this morning. When most people think of Jewish history, taking out the word American, that's the first thing, the capital H, it's the Holocaust.
So the mission of our museum is to tell the story of the American Jewish experience. And so, yes, when many people hear Jewish museum, they immediately go to Holocaust. Yeah. And that certainly plays a role in terms of our core exhibition. But the way that we engage that subject is through the lens of Jews who were living in the United States at that time. So if you were alive in this country in the 1930s and the 1940s, what would you have known? What would have been your experience? How was American culture or American society supportive or not supportive of the mission to save Jews and others who were being persecuted and then killed in Europe? And so unlike maybe most people might think of a traditional kind of Holocaust experience, we really try to put visitors in the shoes of Americans who were alive at that time so they can really understand what was it like to be a Jew in the United States during the rise of Hitler. what was it like to be a Jew in the United States when, you know, when the Nuremberg laws were passed or after Kristallnacht? And then once America entered the war, what did it mean to be a Jew to serve in the United States military at that time?
How do you get your collection? How do these pieces come to you to form a story?
Well, we're very fortunate to have quite a significant collection of our own. So we are very much able to draw on resources available to us through the institution. But we're also very fortunate that by being the National Museum of American Jewish History, people from across the nation and sometimes across the world look to us as a potential home for their family mementos, for their family ephemera. And so we've really been able to build a collection by engaging with the individuals who represent our story. That is not to say that there aren't some one-of-a-kind things out there. So one of the feature objects on view at the museum is Washington's famous letter to the Hebrew congregation at Newport, Rhode Island. And that is something that is, there's only one of those. It is potentially the most important document in American Jewish history, and that is on long-term loan to us from a private lender. So we are also grateful for private collectors and our peer institutions who lend material to the museum so we can tell our full story.
We're sitting down and we are talking just before Thanksgiving. And speaking of Washington, I think you have something else.
The museum is really privileged to exhibit George Washington's original Thanksgiving Proclamation. And so this is the document that started it all. So while families are eating turkey, and they may be hearing this after the holiday, but still eating turkey three, 4 days out, coming to the museum over the holiday weekend is really a wonderful opportunity to see a specific document that started the celebration of Thanksgiving in the United States. Now, George Washington doesn't mention turkey. He doesn't mention cranberry sauce. He talks about thanking, and in his words, he's thinking in religious terms, right? Thanking whomever you might think to thank for the gift of this free society. This evolved over time into this, you know, warm celebration of family and friends, which generally is a social gathering, but also is a great reminder about our forebears and the people who had the foresight to create the society that makes it possible for people of all different backgrounds, all different derivations, cultures, religious communities, etc., to gather together on this particular day.
Will people be able to see it continuing on for the kids who don't have enough time this weekend but will soon have a full week off?
Yes, that is on exhibition all the time.
Excellent.
So people can come if they would like during winter break.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley, and today we are talking about the National Museum of American Jewish History, located at 5th and Market in Philadelphia on Independence Mall. We are talking to Chief Curator Josh Perlman and to Jenny Isakowitz, who is the Public Relations and Digital Marketing Director over there. And if you'd like more information, nmaj.org for National Museum of American Jewish History. And you do have great exhibits, but I also see you have speakers and you have educational programs, scholarly efforts go into that. So if you want to touch on that briefly, and then you've got to have children programming mm-hmm. for educators who might want to introduce this topic in civics or whatever.
So the museum offers a wide variety of programs to the public. First of all, we have a very deep engaged relationship with the school district, both in the city and the suburbs, the private and the public schools, and more than 10,000 students visit us on an annual basis. And folks are welcome, if you are a teacher or if you are a parent of a student, folks are welcome to look at our website to find out all the different kinds of wonderful offerings that we can provide. We also have all sorts of fantastic public programs, and some of them that are coming up, which I think you mentioned children and also families. On December 25th, we have our annual, we call it Being Blank at Christmas, which is a, you know, a very large family program where we invite in the community on December 25th to experience the museum, to gather together, and to enjoy the holiday spirit. In January, on January 15th, we commemorate MLK Day by opening the museum to the entire community for free. And we do that likewise on President's Day, which is February 19th. Upcoming public programs include something that I'm looking forward to on December 7th, a program that commemorates the 30th anniversary of Freedom Sunday, which was the March on Washington to free Soviet Jews. And that is actually in conjunction with a small exhibition we opened the day before called Power of Protest, the Movement to Free Soviet Jews, which really focuses on this kind of remarkable and perhaps one of the most successful human rights movements of the 20th century, and really has strong Philadelphia connections. Philadelphia, our city, was very, very involved in both the leadership and the organization of the movement that eventually helped to free Soviet Jews.
Mm. And these exhibits are held in conjunction with your permanent collection that one sees. When somebody comes into the museum, you enter at the front, do you tell the story chronologically, or how do you do that?
So visitors to the core exhibition will experience the story of American Jewish life generally chronologically. It's a long story, more than 360 years, and so having that chronology, you know, helps people just understand, right, how time flows. But I think people will really be very surprised at, number one, how we're able to bring out certain themes throughout the exhibitions, and also the different ways that they can experience the story, whether that's through original material culture, through very state-of-the-art interactive experiences, or even opportunities for visitors to tell their own stories and become part of the evolving narrative of Jewish life, or even, you know, generally American life.
Now, you just opened the door, too. You have a new digital program coming up, and it's Recollection, I'm guessing. Even when I can, when I make that connection, be happy. Now, what is this? Jenny, you want to jump in and tell us what this is?
Sure. So, just as the museum preserves, celebrates, and explores American Jewish history, this new digital platform that we've launched called Recollection, spelled out R-E colon collection, is a way to make sure every person who has a story to tell about American Jewish history has a place to share that. We partnered with a state-of-the-art innovative technology company called Inwoven, who has developed a platform for storytelling. And we've customized it so that families, individuals can share the stories that should be woven into this tapestry of American Jewish history for generations to come, while also giving them tools to contribute to community projects on topics like immigration and food, so that the story of my grandma's brisket recipe and how we all loved it is part of this collection that will be preserved for the future and really illustrates what it's like to be a Jewish American.
Now, this sounds like this is an ongoing project and that it changes as people contribute to it. And how is this happening?
So in some ways, it's a living, breathing, organic, evolving storytelling experience. You know, one of the challenges of being a physical museum is you are physically rooted in a particular place, but we are a national institution, and the community that we represent, you know, lives in every corner, every pocket of this country. And every one of those families and every one of those communities has a story to tell. And I know a lot of us say, oh, I'm not famous, you know, my story isn't so important. But actually, each one of those stories, as they combine together, as they become aggregated, become this kind of wonderful narrative of our present and our future. And so what Recollection is a way for whether you're an individual, whether you're a family, whether you're a community, whether you're a synagogue or an organization, to document your memories, whether that's through posting an image, posting an audio file, posting a video. All of the kind of the wonderful thing about this project is it's so diverse in the types of content you can contribute and so flexible in the way that you can kind of organize and curate your own stories. Now, I know some people might say, oh my God, I have so much stuff in shoeboxes in my attic, and that seems like a really, really hard thing to do. And yes, I think, you know, for some people that does feel like a challenge, but all it takes to include your story in recollection is one image. You can begin very simply, and all of a sudden you're part of this larger community and you're preserved by the museum.
And that helps too, because the story of someone who grows up in New York or someone who makes it big in LA doesn't tell the story of someone who ended up in Iowa or grew up in Wisconsin or another. Oh,
I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. So yes, I can identify.
And now I'm listening for an accent. But anyway, so yeah, it allows to tell a complete American story.
And actually, it's very kind of fitting that we're talking about this right before Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is really this time when families and friends gather together. And what a kind of wonderful time to actually do something like post an image. Take a picture of your family at Thanksgiving. Everybody who was there, post the picture on Recollection, and actually you can take your phone, whatever type of mobile device you might have, record a little narrative. You know, talk about who was there, and you can upload that narrative along with the photo, and all of a sudden the memory of that moment is preserved in perpetuity.
Oh, an awesome way to do that. Now, how do we support the museum, too? I'm going to guess, obviously, there are memberships, correct? And what does that get one? And what else are you looking for from the community?
Well, you know, people can support the museum in so many different ways. Certainly, membership is one very important way that people can become part of the museum family and also become active in the museum community. There are all sorts of perks that come with membership that people can find on our website. We also have other ways to become involved in the museum. We have a fairly robust and, I think, fun Young Friends program. So anybody who's listening who is on the under 40 side, please feel free to reach out and become involved in that. And also, we have over the past year or so developed a corporate partners program, and many of the most significant corporations or businesses in the city are already part of that project. And so, you know, if you have a group at work and your company, your organization is inclined to support things like cultural institutions, that's also a great way to become involved.
You have a shop. You got rental space.
We do. You know, I'm biased, but I will say I think we have the best store for Judaica and, you know, holiday-related gifts in the city. Our director of retail is an amazing purchaser. And, you know, it's hard for me to walk by the store and not want to purchase something. And I walk by every day. And also, you know, given our location on Independence Mall, we are a wonderful place to hold a family event. Our fifth floor overlooks the mall. It has a three-season terrace. There is also a theater. There are classrooms. There are smaller event spaces, all of which are available to anybody in our community, Jewish, not Jewish, corporate, you know, communal, who would like to hold an event in really a remarkable place.
I've been to a Martha Graham Cracker concert there and a fashion show there that was it was hosted in the ground floor. That was a lot of fun. So I keep ending up over there for various events throughout the year.
Well, I love that you mentioned those types of things. You know, people often think about museums specifically related to their scholarly programs, and we do have those. And as you know, we've discussed, we have wonderful opportunities for families, but we also like to offer programming that might be unexpected and bring in artists, creative folks, knowledgeable thought leaders into the museum who people might just not expect to be there. And Martha Graham Cracker is a great example. Martha did an artist residency in the museum, and the cabaret she produced was so her, but so infused with the story and ethos of the museum. And those were some very special nights.
They were really awesome. And whenever there is a major event or a holiday, the museum does seem to have programming that is offered for it. From the 4th of July holiday parade, kids were up there making things. I don't have kids. So they were making
arts
things. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What was that called?
Arts and crafts.
Play
studio comes. And we actually have, through our young friends group, a big Hanukkah party coming up on December 14th. And that's always a really fun time.
Well, it's a blast to go down there and see what you've got offered. But now let's get back to the digital world. If we go to nmajh.org, what are we going to find there?
You'll find easy access to everything that's happening at the museum. So you'll find what exhibitions are being offered at any particular time. You can easily look at our calendar and see a variety of programs that are upcoming. Certainly, you can see all sorts of ways to support the museum, but also you can dig deeper into the museum's content. You can see stories that you might find in the museum. You can link to recollection that we spoke about and contribute your own story. You can explore our collection. And so the digital space both provides opportunities to know what to do at the museum, but also to learn more about the museum. And, you know, just for folks who are on all sorts of other platforms, you know, you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Pinterest. Name your platform. You'll find us around there somewhere.
Do you have any teaching guides or stuff like that for classrooms before they show up?
Certainly. We have a group of very dedicated and excellent educators who are available to speak with teachers about coming to the museum and what a visit might be like. We also do a wide variety of kind of wonderful programs in which we come to the classroom. And so we bring the museum out into the community. And often that is then tied to a visit to the museum. And so students really get this kind of fully rounded experience. I think, you know, from the feedback that we've received is really meaningful and sticks with them.
And of course, for more information about everything that we talked about today, the place to go, nmajh.org for National Museum of American Jewish History. You have links there to Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, and links to all of the programs and events and things that we talked about today. And here's where I say thank you both for coming in.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, let's not make it another 7 years before you're in again. My guest today, Chief Curator Josh Perlman, and also from the Public Relations and Digital Marketing Department, its director, Jenny Isakowicz. Thank you both again. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.